Holy smokes.
Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're at the beginning of June. Can't believe it already. You better be thinking about your summer vacations, your fall holidays, and, of course, your holiday vacation plans as well. We are here tonight with Harshman Travel Radio Show. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see the really cool site that Pam has put together. And the reason why we do this radio show is a long time ago, in a faraway place, I was building Building Fortunes Radio. And when I was building Building Fortunes Radio, we deal with a lot of home-based business entrepreneurs. And I asked Pam, who was building a home-based business at that time, if she would be on our radio show to talk about, you know, building home-based businesses. I always really liked working with Pam because when she was an upline, which is kind of like an MLM term, for her downline, she was always super-duper, really very efficient, lots of great integrity, always asked the questions that no one else ever asked. She was always really good at following up and following through, and she's just great. So I said, if we're going to do something for Building Fortunes Radio to help the home-based business entrepreneur, we should probably do it, and Pam, could you be a guest host? And she said, I'd love to, but we're not going to be in that kind of home-based business anymore. We're going to go and become traditional travel agents. And I said, oh, that's good for you. And I'm like, well, how do I make this fit? And I said, wait a minute. People that do home-based businesses are people too, and they travel, and they have bucket lists and wish lists and all that sort of stuff. And why don't we do this? We need a good travel agent because, as you will hear through maybe some of the stories that are told on Building Fortunes Radio, that you can do stuff on your own at your own risk and, you know, self-inflict your own demise, as we'll hear. But if you really want to make sure that you have a pleasurable trip with the right types of things and really good deals and people that are going to be there to be able to support you, make sure you book your trips through Harshman Travel. So go to harshmantravel.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I want you to have the same level of enthusiasm that I do. So we're going to go through introductions first. We'll do Pam and then her husband, Ron, and then we'll take a commercial break. And then after the commercial break, we're going to give Ron as much time as he needs to be able to share stories and cool stuff on what's happening with the travel industry. So, Pam, over to you on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter. It's nice to be here. And, yes, summer has arrived. I'm not liking these humid 90-plus degree temperatures right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest, did that for several years, and slow but sure worked myself up into court administration. Loved my job, but was happy as a clam. However, I then met my husband-to-be, who lived down in Florida, and I left up in Washington State to join him down south. And once down here, I really did not want to start down at the bottom of the ladder or anywhere close. So I was kind of looking for something that I could do independently and preferably work from home. But I ended up getting my realtor's license and then followed that up with my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. Kind of decided that wasn't my niche. You know, you should enjoy what you're doing. And so I went and I got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. I absolutely loved it. It was very fulfilling for me because in my heartfelt opinion, it was what a senior does with their affect them basically the rest of their life. So it was very fulfilling for me to be able to go out and talk to seniors and let them understand better what all the Medicare and supplements and the managed care plans and all that was. So I took a lot of good with me when I went, and it was always fun for me because I never knew what I was walking into. Sometimes I would just make my appointment, and she said, oh, well, I'm going to maybe have a couple friends there, and I'd walk in, and there'd be a whole big table laid out with a ladies' basic tea party, and we would just sit there and talk. Those ones usually lasted a long time, but I thoroughly enjoyed them. And other times it would be maybe a bunco group that they'd take an intermission and we'd talk about things and then they'd go back to playing. Or it could be just a single person or a couple couples. You know, I just never knew what I was going to be walking into. And so that kept it fun. And like I said, it was very fulfilling. But at the same time, I was getting those carrots dangling in front of me on my Facebook news feed that were all about home-based businesses and MLMs. And as you had mentioned earlier, that's where we met. I was a customer of yours. And I had a lot of fun doing that as well when I joined some. And I had a couple losers, but I had several winners in there as well. And I learned a lot. That's the one thing that I can take away from it is how much I learned. It even allowed me to put together our website. So a lot of good. But one day when I was out doing my MedSup calls, I got a phone call from a girlfriend of mine who out of the blue just happened to ask if Ron and I had ever thought about becoming travel agents, and I was absolutely floored. I was just speechless because it hadn't even been a week prior to that Ron and I had been talking about, you know, we were empty nester baby boomers, we had some disposable income, and we were both in a position to where we made our own schedules, so it was absolutely prime for setting ourselves up for going on vacation. So we were, you know, sitting there at home and going through our bucket list and comparing and seeing what order we wanted to do stuff in. So when she mentioned that, it was like I could not wait to get home and talk to Ron. And once I did, we sat down and we did some research on the internet and weighed the pros and the cons, and ultimately, obviously, we decided to move forward. We got all the education we could get our hands on, and then all the proper licensures. And bottom line is, I think we have done a whole lot more travel than we probably would have been able to do otherwise, as well as helped a lot of people stretch their travel dollars and be there for them in their time of need, you know, because things don't always go as planned. So it was really good, and that was until COVID hit, and that kind of put the quabash on travel around the world. And we are back in full swing now, though, and loving every minute of it. And we've got our bucket list that we're still working on.
Perfect. Okay, good. And then, Ron, over to you.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Good to be with you again. My background is very, very different from Pam's. Spent many years as a licensed clinical psychologist and obviously involved heavily in my own clinical practice, but I also chose to become pretty much involved in the whole self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I was first getting started, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, suggested to me that it would really be a good idea for me to get involved in the Provincial Association of Psychologists. She felt that I had a lot to offer, and at the same time, She was convinced that it would really be to my advantage to get involved and to see what goes on in the workings of the profession and be involved in things like sitting on ethics committees and professional affairs committees, etc., and really having a say in how the profession is moving forward, interacting with government regulations, etc., etc. And I took her up on her advice and did get involved in the provincial association. Ended up sitting on their board of directors and served on several administrative committees. And as a result of being involved in the provincial association, it wasn't too much of a stretch to get involved in the national Canadian Psychological Association. And I was very, very fortunate because after getting involved there, I was elected as chair of the applied division of the association, sat on the board of directors and professional affairs committees and intergovernmental committees and all of that stuff. Really saw a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on in the, as I said, the self-administration of a profession. And I think it's true that regardless of the profession that people get into, by far the vast majority of folks sign up for their, their national professional association, whether they're in dentistry or law or education or whatever, but very few, percentage-wise, really take the time and the effort to contribute by being involved in the self-administered regulatory aspect of the working. So I was, I had a very different outlook, very eye-opening outlook, and at the end of my career, once again, I was very, very fortunate, very, very honored to be elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. In terms of my own clinical practice, I wasn't practiced all that long before I really started specializing, working with young couples, doing a lot of sexual counseling, a lot of premarital counseling, and unfortunately a lot of marriage counseling, getting involved in several situations where we had young couples who were really pretty immature, unfortunately, and had grown up in a throwaway society. You know, if it didn't work, you threw it away. So if marriage wasn't working, just walk away from it. But unfortunately, the negative part, the most negative part from my perspective, was that I saw a lot of these folks who, because of their own immaturity, did not realize the damage they were doing by setting their children up as the last battleground, you know, to fight with their about-to-be ex-spouse and do damage to him or her. And as a result of my involvement with a number of these couples, I found myself getting involved in the whole legal aspect of the divorce and child custody workings, and ended up doing a lot of guest lecturing at the Faculty of Law, talking to law students about the use of professionals in dealing with breakups and divorces, and also spent a lot of time doing a lot of workshops for clinical psychologists, but also clinical social workers, and I found myself very fortunately in a position when we saw a major change in the legal structure. Up until the time I got involved, it has pretty much been a pre-drawn conclusion that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were children involved and there was a dispute over custody, the courts almost always would choose to give custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And although that worked and was an okay outcome in many, many cases, we started seeing too many cases where it not only was not a good outcome, but it was a very destructive outcome. And as a result of those cases, what we saw was a major change in the judicial system, where the justices came to the conclusion that decisions about child custody and access in divorce actions should in fact be based on the psychological best interests of the children involved. And obviously that was the right decision to make. It was a good decision. But at the time there was no standard way of evaluating the psychological best interest, nor was there a standardized way of presenting that in court once a clinician had made that decision. So I found myself very fortunately, nothing really to do with me. It was just the timing that all this happened and the way in which things were. But I was very fortunate to be involved right at the beginning with a group of other clinical psychologists and clinical social workers who got together and said we really need to develop a standardized approach to doing child custody investigations to really determine who needs to be seen, what needs to be evaluated, and once things are determined in terms of the best interest, the psychological best interest of the children, how to present that in court and what was the proper position for clinicians to take. We were very much against the initial standard approach of psychologists and social workers being hired guns for whatever attorney happened to be, or get to that clinician first and getting that clinician to go in and give all kinds of machinations as to why custody should go to that attorney's client. So it was very, very heavy work, very, very meaningful work. I was very, very pleased with what I was doing. I was very, very rewarded with seeing the outcome of what I was doing. I was one of the first psychologists to be appointed by the Supreme Court in Canada as an expert in child custody and child access and visitation. And I ended up, after several years doing that in Western Canada, moving to South Florida, where I had the opportunity to introduce that whole system into the South Florida courts. And I ended up being the first licensed clinician to be appointed in both Dade and Broward County courts as an expert in child custody and access, and appeared in hundreds of cases in the court system. So it was very, very rewarding work, very heavy work, but it was, work that I still feel very good about what my input was there. After Pam and I got together, we weren't together that long before we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As Pam said, she started getting involved in MLMs and home-based businesses, and although I wasn't involved in that, I was fully supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk about becoming professional travel consultants, it was something that just hit both of us as a good idea, something that we could really throw ourselves into and really enjoy doing. And it's worked out very, very well. We did the research, determine what kind of training we would need, and then once we had that training, all the different licensures that were involved in the involvement in the profession, because we really felt that if we were going to do that, we were going to do it the right way. We had the responsibility of not only being professional travel consultants, but also evaluating many of the travel vendors and finding those ones that had the same attitude towards their clientele that we had towards our patients and clients, that you know, we wanted people to get a good deal and save money, but also have pretty much error-free and problem-free vacations. And as with any other industry, it's important to recognize that there are many travel vendors who do not have that approach. They are primarily interested in doing whatever they have to do to make money as quickly and as easily as possible. And if people have a good time on their vacations, that's an extra bonus, but that's certainly not their driving mantra. But there are many, many vendors who really do care a lot about their reputation and about what services they provide. And Pam and I have been very, very fortunate. We've done a lot more traveling than we ever would have been able to had we not become professional travel consultants. And we really have helped an awful lot of people make the most out of their travel time and money. So it's been good, as Pam said. When COVID hit, we really saw a screeching halt. And without getting political, I will just make the comment that my opinion was that I saw the U.S. government doing their best to destroy the travel industry. And during all of our radio shows during that you know, multi-year event, that's all I can call it, we really continued to be optimistic and to be aware of all that the travel industry was doing to survive. And Peter and I found ourselves sometimes the only ones with very positive outlooks, but our prognostications were that travel would come back, and it would come back bigger and better than ever before. And it's very nice to, for the last, probably 6 months or so, to have been able to have the radio shows and talk about how the travel industry is coming back and is presenting with different itineraries, different ships, different companies, just total growth. And our prognostications are very definitely proving to be very accurate, and it's very definite that we can say that travel is back much better than before, and anybody looking to have a travel experience, whether it's a weekend cruise or you know, around the world 300-day cruise, or any other travel, we would be very honored to work with you and to help you find the best alternatives and options that you can take advantage of. So travel is definitely back, and I will be quiet so we can have our commercial break, and then I will become verbose again.
All great news. So we're going to be right back after this little commercial break, but make sure you go to harshmantravel.com. That's harshmantravel.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Make sure you check them out. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Ron Harshman. And Ron's going to cover some of the good news and some of the other stories happening in the travel industry. So, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. We'll start off with a news thing that came out actually last week. We were going to talk about it last week. But a couple from Kentucky got involved in putting out some information through social media complaining about their trip that was planned with Carnival Cruises. And the headline basically said a Kentucky family's $15,000 Carnival Cruise vacation that they had been planning for a year canceled just 2 days before the ship was set to sail, and they accidentally shared their booking number online in the case of identity theft. Well, we went through the story, and there's obviously a lot of misinformation and a lot of missing information, but the one thing that we do want to glean from this particular event, this particular happening for this couple, obviously you feel bad if people spend that kind of money hoping to have a great vacation and it blows up for whatever reason. But I think from our perspective looking at it and trying to be as objective as we can in looking at the facts, the bottom line very clearly is the clear stupidity of people going online, and in this particular case, it was on TikTok, which is, or TikTok, is that what it is, TikTok, whatever. But anyhow, that is probably one of the least appropriate, avenues to go on and give out information. But the fact that they planned their trip and they then went on to social media and put up all the information, including their reservation number and how much they spent and the type of cabins that they were arranging, et cetera, et cetera. It was an invitation to people who are constantly scanning over all of the social media to do whatever they want to do and get away with whatever they can get away with. But the bottom line was the fact that these people went online, posted all this information, and then when things went wrong, however they ended up going wrong, whoever fault it was, and however their reservations got canceled and all that kind of stuff, that never would have happened had they used a professional travel consultant. And I think from our perspective, it just was a very clear message that underlines the reason that we have overly commented on the fact that if people are going to put their faith in having a pleasurable, error-free vacation, it only makes sense to use a professional travel consultant. You're going to save money. You're going to have specials that are available to travel agencies that are not available to the general public. But most important, you're going to have the confidence that you have somebody in your corner if things go wrong, however they go wrong. If something happens and you have to cancel, or something happens that the vendor cancels, you were planning to go here and now they're telling you that their itinerary is going there. Whatever problem it is, and whether it's before the travel or during the travel or at the end of the travel, if you are working with a properly licensed professional travel consultant, you are 1,000 times better positioned than you would be on your own in terms of having somebody who knows what they're doing and can advise you of regulations that you might be running into if you go to this port or that port, or recent travel advisories because of difficulties that have been found in this location or that location, or dealing with the vendor because they didn't deliver what you think they should have delivered. Whatever the problem is, having a professional travel consultant is only good sense, and it not only doesn't cost you any more money, but in 99% of the time, you're going to save money. So it just doesn't make sense not to use a professional travel consultant, and we would be happy to be that for you. If you choose to find somebody else, make sure they're licensed, make sure they're insured, make sure they know what they're doing, and hopefully it will work out good for you there as well. So that's all I want to mention about that particular event. But it did come up, and it was something that was certainly worth addressing. Number of other things that came up this week, and I realize I'm over time, Peter, so I will talk quickly.
You have as much time as you want. Don't worry about it.
Okay. It always gives me pleasure to announce on the radio show events where we have travel vendors giving back to the community. And this week we had again a situation out in California. The U.S. Coast Guard contacted one of the Carnival ships that was out in the Pacific off of Long Beach, and had them, because of their closeness, get involved in rescuing 25 people who were stranded aboard a small boat off the Pacific coast of Mexico. And the Carnival Radiance was close by, and the ship was immediately routed towards the location provided by the Coast Guard. The rescue was quickly completed with all 25 people, including 3 children, that were stranded on a boat and just out there by themselves. And the Carnival cruise ship was able to go and get the people, pick them up, and deliver them to safety. So kudos again to Carnival for that. Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings came out with an interesting announcement this week. They talk about delivering cost savings, and they're doing it through fuel. And they made the announcement that fuel is a big portion of their expenses, and they announced that traditionally the 3-brand company, Norwegian, Regent, and Oceania, had all historically bought their fuel from one vendor, and Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings changed that approach. They now have 40 different vendors and for the three different lines, and they are saving significantly on their fuel costs. They say that previously some of the ships would start their engines 2 hours before leaving port, and now their chief engineers have been working on their ship, and they have gotten that down to 15 minutes. So, again, major changes are being made to make things better. Disney Cruise Line announced a couple of things this week that I thought were important to talk about. Number one, again, it always gives me pleasure to talk about the cruise lines being involved with the people that are running the ports of call where the ships are visiting. And Disney got involved in a major event, special celebration, marking the opening of its new island destination in Eleuthera at Lighthouse Point. And they had a celebration with the people in Eleuthera, the governmental people there, and it was very nice to see the messages coming from both directions. The Prime Minister made the comment, the inclusion of culture at Disney's new destination in Eleuthera is exemplary, from its thoughtful design to entertainment featuring Junkanoos. People who visit will experience the Bahamas and our special culture in a new way. And again, the cruise line made a big point of having the celebration with the government officials there and really underlining the way in which the cruise lines do work together with the different people at the different ports of call and really become involved in the whole economy that's going on, the whole culture that's going on, and it's just really nice to see. Disney also was in the news because they had gotten involved with the Port of Spain, and the Ministry of Tourism in Trinidad and Tobago put out a news release about Disney Cruise Line completing a recruitment drive that had several people applying for positions. And when I say several people, I'll just read you the numbers. The recruiting agency said that there were more than 5,000 nationals who submitted e-applications for the opportunity to work for Disney Cruise Line. Following the pre-screening process, the agency shortlisted 150 candidates to be further screened and considered for the respective vacancies, and 80 of the 150 were then invited for in-person interviews at Queen's Hall in the Port of Spain. So again, we're talking about people seeing the cruise line as a possible employer, and the impact that employment with Disney Cruise Lines would have on the families of these 80 people is just remarkable. And it's just very, very nice to see. A couple other announcements that came out this week that I definitely want to talk about. Up in Vancouver, British Columbia, they were involved in distributing their annual Blue Circle Awards. These are awards that they give to the various cruise lines that participate in doing things that are positive for the environment. And this year, they highlighted for Disney Cruise Line, All in America, Princess Cruises, Royal Caribbean, and Viking Ocean Line. And Princess Cruises, this was the 13th time that they received the award. So again, the impact that the cruise industry has around the world is just phenomenal. In China, Blue Dream Melody, which is a ship that was taken over, their ship owned by Blue Dream Cruises, and they are sailing now from Shanghai. It's a 1,270 guest vessel. They are doing 4 to 7 night cruises. And again, the number of people that are visiting Shanghai since they are back on the destination calendar for people who are really looking to see different parts of the world. And Shanghai is doing its best to come back into the world of cruising, and they have just been able to welcome back MSC Cruises and Royal Caribbean, and Shanghai is moving to innovate its cruise products, and they are expecting over 1.4 million guests and almost 190 turnaround calls in 2024. So they recognize that they are taking the next step in the market, and they are definitely committed to being there. As I said, Shanghai is expecting 1.4 million passengers, and they've already reported 210,000 in the first quarter, and an additional 69 cruise stops in Shanghai. So again, it's worldwide that we are seeing the cruise industry coming back bigger and stronger than it's ever been. Windstar Cruises, which is one of the specialty type cruise experiences, just announced their 2025-2026 winter Mediterranean voyages, and they've come up with 6 unique itineraries, and they are offering some major early booking offers. They are committed, and as I say, through 25-26, you are really seeing some major advances in terms of itineraries where we'll be stopping in Dubrovnik, Venice, Nice, Barcelona, and Florence. So they have made that announcement, and I'll just do one more and we'll be done, Peter. Thank you for the extra time. But Carnival Corporation announced that in March of 2025, they will sunset their P&O Cruises Australia brand, and those operations will be taken over by Carnival Cruise Line. Carnival Corp. Has, I believe it's 10 or 11 subsidiary cruise lines, and this is the first time that I've heard so far with Carnival basically closing up one of their operations, but again, they're not getting out. They're simply getting out of the P&O cruises, but Carnival Cruise Line will pick up all of those itineraries and different experiences that are available. So again, we're seeing, as we have every week for the last several weeks, major moves in the cruise industry where cruise lines are active participants in the places where they visit, and we are seeing different operations that are certainly showing how the strong commitment by the cruise industry during the COVID years is definitely paying off. And we are just seeing major advances and good things happening, and we are certainly pleased to be a part of those things. So, again, I apologize for being maybe a little extra verbose this week. I don't know what's going on, but I will...
All good information.
I will shut up. And wish
all good information.
Very, very good. I appreciate that, Peter. But it is good information. It's really... We're very, very pleased to be a part of it, but we're also very, very pleased to see all of our tenuous prognostications really coming to the fore. I mean, I think back
That's it.
To some of the shows that we did during that year and a half, 2 year period of time. And I found myself at that time getting off of the radio show and saying to myself, do I really believe that things are going to come back as well as I'm presenting that to the people? And my answer was, yes, I really do. I saw the money that was going out, the number of offerings that they were making in terms of selling shares, etc., to generate the revenue, and I continue to fume over the steps that were being taken by the government, and it's all come out good, so I'm pleased about it.
Oh, good news. So we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio, or the Harshman Travel Radio Show. Make sure you check them out. Go to harshmantravel.com. That's harshmantravel.com. And we will see everyone next week. Thanks, everyone.
Good week, everyone. Bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.